Suck a big old bag of donkey dicks. I'm freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Go fuck yourself.
Damn!
And I am a sports entertainer.
Ladies, gentlemen, and bees, this is the ESE podcast. That's right, this is Eat Sleep Elite, your weekly AEW review and breakdown. I am the Digital Duke, also known as the Digital Phantom, also known as the Lisan Al Gaib, and the commander of my royal fleets, if you will. The Stilgar to my Paul Atreides, if there is such a relationship to be denoted, if there is such. Though I don't really like, you know, actually, you know what I was going to say? That actually fucking fits perfectly, because Stilgar has his own thoughts and opinions, and he always did. And he was never unhappy to share that with Paul. He was very, be like, yeah, I'll do what you want, but it's bullshit, man, you know? So that actually checks out. For those of you that know, that's a Dune reference. So I do enjoy some of the Dune, you know, shout out Denis Villeneuve for getting it. But, you know, but yeah, I mean, just a really good wrestling this week, Charlie. I mean, I really honestly, I have to say, like, I didn't watch everything like right off rip. I think I watched Dynamite like on Wednesday or Thursday, something like that. But I didn't watch it like immediately or anything. I wasn't like pressed. But there was a lot of really good stuff. It's funny. I don't know what that is. If something about these bigger shows when we have like a big TV episode coming up. I don't know. Sometimes I'm just like, wow, that's so much to just, you know, get to wrap your mind around. Like, I don't know. It doesn't ever lower my expectations or anything. I just walk in and I'm like, fuck, this is a lot. This is about to go down this week, you know? So, but yeah, just across the breadth of this episode, I guess we're going to do our favorites like we normally do. We got some predictions for Final Battle. We got some news we're going to talk about. Dynamite, Rampage, Collision recaps. You know how it is. You know the deal. You know how we roll here. Charlie, how are you feeling after you knocked my team out of the fantasy football playoffs, you bastard?
Yeah, feeling pretty good. You know, fantasy football playoffs, and now I face one of our other buddies, Rick. That should be
catch me in CDL fantasy, coward.
Yeah, you don't want to catch me there. I'm 0-2. Pretty overall another good week of wrestling. I think this tournament, the story of the tournament so far, has been surprising results, which is a lot. I think it's catering more than last year in terms of you can't just predict where every match is going to go. And I think that was a slight problem last year. It was still awesome. Don't get me wrong. But
I mean, you just had Jay Lethal and Mark Briscoe standing out like sore thumbs, man. And it sucked. And Daniel Garcia on the other side. It just sucked. That's the way that it fell last year, you know?
But it just with the way the booking is gone, you know, Ricochet and Brody King, you weren't sure who was winning this time. And then obviously we'll get to the Collision main event here in a second, but what a fucking phenomenal match that was. So I don't know. I think the tournament is definitely in full swing. We're beyond the halfway point now. And
shit, Kyle's one win away from fucking guaranteeing himself a spot, you know?
Yeah. 6 women's matches this week. I thought that was a nice touch too. So yeah, we're a lot of fun stuff this week on wrestling. And like you said, now we look forward to Final Battle and whatever. These shows at the Hammerstein Ballroom, I think, is going to be a blast. I think the energy in that room for Collision, Dynamite, Rampage, you name it, I think it's going to feel like a big deal.
The card, from what I've seen, like brief snippets of, seems pretty relatively interesting, too. Like, I don't know the matches yet. Yeah. I won't until we do the predictions, but... you know, I assume, I mean, Ring of Honor generally puts together a decent card, and I do know that the Righteous, I think, are going for the championships at this pay-per-view in, like, a bull rope match or something like that, so, yep. You know, like, that should be nuts. So
those guys will deliver, for sure.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Or it'll be 10 minutes, and, you know, they'll be buried, but, you know, it's either or with those guys, you know? You never know, but, yeah, I mean, I guess with that being said, Charlie, I guess we'll jump into favorites, right? Because you got the nod this week, so I'll just toss it to you. So take us away there. You mentioned the Collision main event. So
yeah, we're jumping right to the end. So Mark Briscoe taking on and defeating Kyle Fletcher. And this was 19 minutes and 44 seconds. We got that 1 minute timer. Everyone turned into Superman, which 2 days out from that teaser trailer, it should be pretty fun. This match was just fucking awesome. Mark Briscoe did everything in his power to survive all the shenanigans that Kyle Fletcher used to get his points this far. And that was a big deal. He got the win with the J-Driller in the closing seconds. there was a moment where I believe he hits the J-Driller and Kyle ends up getting out, right? And then he hits the Froggy Bow and it gets the near fall and it's like, ah, shit, we've seen this before. But it ended up not being the case. They went for their flash pins. Fletcher shoved him into the referee, tried a low blow. He caught his leg, hit the J-Driller, and got the 1-2-3. And I'm not afraid to say it, the match of the tournament so far. This is the best match of the tournament so far. It, yet again, here's Mark Briscoe, just like last year, randomly had that match with Roosh that was like, holy fuck, that match was insane. This topped it. I would have to really do some thinking to see if this might be my favorite Mark Briscoe singles match he's had yet in AEW. I mean, it really is that fucking good. So, yeah, I'd have to, I know a lot of people are going to point to his match with Jay Lethal because all the emotions tied to it. And you, it's hard to compare matches sometimes when you have that much of an emotional pull to it. It just is. So, but yeah, I thought this was phenomenal. And Mark Briscoe is the wrestler of the tournament so far. He's what, 3 out of 4 have been really, really good? Or no, all 4 have been good, right? Because his match with Shelton, that was in the tournament, right? So
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I don't know that, like, one was super
three
long.
Three, like, super high-quality matches and one that was good.
Yeah, I don't think that one was super long. I think he's mostly been getting squashes. It's been a minute since we saw Shelton wrestle, actually. What the fuck's up with that? Like,
got Okada next.
True.
But yeah, just overall, a phenomenal match that Kyle Fletcher, you know, we're seeing him now. Anything he's touching, it's turning into gold. And I think it was on Rampage or maybe Collision, the boos he was getting.
I think that's the thing I noticed the most about Kyle is, like, it's not just the, because in-ring ability is something that a lot of people have in AEW, you know, a lot of people can go out there and have a good match. Kyle not only can cut a really good promo, but when he cuts a promo, it sticks with people to the point where they actually do want to react to him in the crowd. And he, even just through his wrestling and psychology in the ring, can get people to boo the crap out of him without having to, like, yell at the crowd. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so, you know,
that
it's
legit,
like,
heat. And that's what's turning Kyle Fletcher into more than just a, you know, everyone knows he's talented, but how far, you know, how long until he reaches that potential? He's getting, is it fair to say he's getting more heat than the world champion right now? Because again, it was kind of crickets on Dynamite. Just saying.
I think Jon Moxley has the wrong kind of heat as champion right now, which sucks.
Yeah,
you know, like,
it's yeah. But yeah, of really well done underdog story, and I am loving this tournament so far. I love this result, and yeah, just give me some of your thoughts on this one, and we are off to a fucking insane final couple weeks of this tournament now.
Allow me to be a little fucking whack job for a second and talk about Mark Briscoe. Like, he's, like, actually, like, a really good wrestler. So, like, and that's not to say that he's not. I'm just saying that a lot of people aren't going to put him in the same category that I necessarily would. I think Mark Briscoe, over the last year since this last tournament, has actually improved significantly. And I don't just mean, like, oh, he's better at this or better at that. Like, I mean, I think that the guy that was in this tournament last year was there purely to lose. And I don't think he had another purpose in the tournament other than maybe building up somebody else in the process. Because, I mean, I think there's two things you have to acknowledge about last year's tournament. One, there were so many fucking injuries that prevented people from being in it. And we'll never know who those people were, obviously. But there was just so many people that weren't available for the tournament at the time, you know. And even the ones that were, they didn't use all of them, you know, which was an interesting decision, you know. So because of that, I feel that we didn't really get to see what Mark Briscoe could fully do. I think we've seen bits and pieces of it over the last year. I think it's been a slow build. I think maybe they said something last year to Mark, like, hey, this year isn't going to be your year. I know you made that whole statement about wanting your first year as a singles wrestler to be huge. We're going to have stuff for you. Just give it a little bit of time. But for right now, we just need you to lose in this tournament because that's what we want to happen, right? Okay. That's fine, right? And then the plan there being that a year from now, we're going to take you through this tournament. You're not necessarily guaranteed to win or anything because we can't plan that far in advance, right? But you know? I mean, I guess they can if they're Tony Khan, but like they probably wouldn't, right? Just because you never know what the company is going
to
look like.
They had a plan for that ROH title for him not to win it that first time, but he ended up winning it, what, six, 8 months later? So
right. So as I'm saying, like this could be like a similar parallel there, or it could just be that they maybe don't even realize they're paralleling that, but it just so happened to work out nicely in that way. You know what I mean? The point is, I could see them. I don't think he's going to win it, but he certainly could end up in the semifinals or finals of this tournament. You know what I mean? Because I think he's improved a ton, and I think this is one of the ways that you give back to him for what he did for the tournament last year, is by letting him be a legitimate contender that could win this thing. I would love to see this guy make a run toward the end. Like I said, I don't think he's going to win it, but if anybody deserves to get a deep run in this tournament for the amount of work that they've put in, and you're talking about a guy that's always there and always at the forefront of this company and always, you know, we talk about like the people like Big Boom AJ that you don't expect to step up and become like, you know, mouthpieces for the company. I feel like Mark Briscoe, yes, I really enjoy Mark Briscoe. So I just want to gas him a little bit. I do think he's improved a lot. I don't think he's going to win. How awesome would it be if he did though? That'd be fucking cool. I don't think he will though, but if you think about the kind of people that win this tournament, Charlie, Eddie Kingston and him are kind of cut from a similar cloth, you know? So
that's a well thought out point.
And so they're kind of actually opposite. They're kind of two sides of the same coin, right? They're both very, you know, masculine American men, right? Who are very in touch with their feelings, right? But one of them is a redneck and the other one was a city boy. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Man, did I just make an argument for a phenomenal tag team? Holy shit. Anyway, moving on.
Eddie would fit in the conglomeration as well.
Oh, yeah. And to be fair, and I want to be clear about this because I'm well aware of the situation. I don't think that'll ever happen. I don't think he's going to do a singular tag team with someone ever again. I just don't think that's something that Mark would be interested in doing without his brother. But the conglomeration is a nice loophole that I'm glad that we do have. So. Yeah.
So some of these guys only have one match left and some of them have two. So the only two wrestlers eliminated as of this point are Beast Mortos and Commander. So still a lot of
Beast Mortos is in that fucking role that Mark was last year. You know, he's just he's here to show off what he can do. And he's also here to lose matches to people
that are matches while doing it.
I mean, every match he's had so far, I wouldn't say I have an issue with. He's just not won anything. I hope he wins one at least. I don't know who he'd win against, but, you know, it'd be fun.
Yeah. So what did you have for your favorites today?
Yeah, a little bit of Adam Cole, baby! Versus good old Kyle Fletcher. Yeah, we just talked about him. Kyle O'Reilly, Battle of the Kyles. We need Kyle versus Kyle action. That's what we need. That match could actually feed families. But did I scroll past it? I sure did. I'm a fucking moron. Anyway, scroll. Damn, man, there was so much to write about on the show that it's taken me a while. All right, Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly for the Dynamite Diamond Ring Shot at World's End. So first of all, I want to acknowledge a couple of things really quickly. First of all, fucking commentary had no clue how this whole situation was going to work like a week or two ago when we did the Battle Royal. Like, I think up until the match happened, they thought MJF was going to be in it, which I think may have been how it worked before, now that I think about it. I do think he was actually in it, maybe, and you had to eliminate him or something. And they were like, you know, that really
make more sense.
And they were like, you know, because why else is the Dynamite Diamond Battle? Why isn't it just a 10-man Battle Royal or something, or 20-man Battle Royal, and then the winner faces MJF for the ring, right? You know? Why wasn't that the stip? But it was a weird stip where the last two in, I guess, get to have a match? Eh? Okay. What a weird Battle Royal. So there's two winners?
Very weird. Yeah.
Anyway. So hypothetically, if you went in as a tag team. Anyway. So, you know, Tony Khan does weird shit sometimes. We know this, but, you know, maybe we refine this a little bit further than we even did this year, you know, because it's still kind of weird. Maybe this, you know what, maybe it goes away. Maybe they just beat him to the ring and it goes away, right? Maybe. I mean, anyway. And they tried to delete the ring already and then they brought it back. So I guess they can't because... no new ideas, but you know, anyway, that all aside, did it change this into the way that now that the match at World's End that this is for? I think that's better, honestly, but it's just, they should have made this more clear from the beginning, and maybe they should have just done some other better way besides the Battle Royal of setting this up. Like, I'm trying to, even though this is my favorite, I'm trying to be honest about it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just being real. Like, the setup for this was horrible. Let's be honest. You know what I mean? But the match itself, fucking great. And that's what we've been looking for from Adam Cole lately. Adam Cole's matches, I think you'll agree, up until like maybe the last couple, maybe the last one. I don't even know if the last, what was his last match before this? Was it?
It was the Roddy match.
Okay. And I think we agree that match was pretty solid, right? Roddy and him did. So it makes sense. You put him against guys he's really familiar with, like him and Kyle, and eventually Max, if he does get there, you know what I mean? So Adam Cole and I, Kyle O'Reilly's setup hasn't really been phenomenal, but I will say that I did really like the match. And I also like the little segment that they shot right before the match where the Kingdom are like, bro, I know, you know, like just like we need this, man, you know, like just whatever, like they're continuing the story or whatever that they've been telling. Man, he's like, bro, you should have thought about that before one of our friends got hurt and fucking walked off to the match. Mm-hmm. Just like brilliant stuff, you know, and Kyle has no time for these guys anymore. And I love it. I love that in AEW, if you have a story where a group of friends is no longer friends, that people actually would be a little bit bitter toward each other. This is not something that, you know, based on what Kyle's been in the conglomeration that you would have expected from him. It's a nice turn in his character. You know what I mean? Good storytelling. Let me see. Yeah, I just love both of these guys, man. I want good things for both of them. It's interesting. Did you catch this? I feel like Adam Cole was wrestling kind of like a heel here a little bit, you know? Maybe a little bit, maybe not necessarily aggressive.
A little bit of that in there.
But not as much of the Flash, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
In the way that he wrestled, like when he was, you know, a member of the Undisputed Era or whatever, you know? Either way. I did, like I said, I really liked the match. I do like the way the ending sequence built up really well, too. It's the two of these guys are kind of like the perfect example of this, Charlie. Both of them have like pretty okay. Kyle's is probably a little more dynamic, but they have I would say they're not the best move sets in the business, but they get the job done with what they have, right? They're able to use it really well, which is, I think, the mark of a really talented wrestler. It's not having the most moves that you can do, but being able to know when to use the moves that you can do, doing them well, and putting them in the right spots, which both of these guys are really brilliant at. I think Adam Cole actually might. And that actually, Charlie, that might be the most underrated aspect of Adam Cole's game, is timing and placement of spots within matches. Because I can think back of so many of those Black and Gold NXT matches where everything was, you could just tell Adam Cole's fucking giga brain was working, you know what I mean? Because you wouldn't see that stuff in any other matches that didn't feature him, you know what I mean? So, and it would just feel like everything was placed so perfectly. And I feel like this was another example of that. I mean, you put two of these guys through, and I don't care what people want to say about Adam Cole. He still is one of the best wrestlers in the world. I don't care what you think. I don't care. There's a reason why him and MJF and why him and Adam Page and why him and various other people can main event AEW pay-per-views, because he's a fucking world championship level superstar, you know what I mean? So, anyway, my ranting about Adam Cole aside, you know why I'm so mad about it? I don't know why I'm so, like, riled up, because I've been so angry at Adam Cole lately, man. You know, like, I've been, like, wanting him to do well, you know? And it's just like, what the fuck? How can you not succeed? You have everything going for you, except for that you have the whole fucking MJF baggage, but you could have just dropped it. Why'd you have to he literally turned on the hard difficulty, Charlie, for no reason. He's like, no, I'm playing it on veteran. I don't care. He's like, all right, fine, you know? I do think MJF did need to be involved in this. He's been not on TV for fucking weeks while this has been going on, so he did need to show up here. I like that he showed up. Two segments before this, MJF arrived on the scene. We'll talk about that, obviously, when we get into the show, but he showed up, and people were like, oh, it's Adam Cole. Or Adam Cole. And people were like, oh, it's going to be involved with Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. So, you know. So I do think he did need to show up and get involved here in the finish. How do we feel about the result, Charlie?
I mean, it's on one end, I'm happy the result went the way it did, because hopefully this means we can finally end this MJF and Adam Cole thing, because it's not been well, like you just said. I mean, I think this was his best showing since he's been back for Adam Cole. He's shaking off that ring rust a little bit, and you can. You know, I wonder if it was always the call for him not to go to the pay-per-view last time, or if they just were like, yeah, let's just push this back another month. Let's do what we're going to do. Let's, you know.
And if you think about it, it makes sense. It's like now MJF cheated the one time and got him out of the match. And then it's like, oh, he trusted Roddy, but then Roddy got hurt. And now the story has been he doesn't want anyone else out to do it. So he would go as far as beating Kyle. And I do hope that we still get the Kyle versus Adam out of this. I think we should wrap this up unless they really want to stretch it or something. But I think we should wrap it up after World's End. It's a perfect ending for this storyline. And then kick it to Kyle versus Adam. And there you go. And that story writes itself, and you can tell that for the next 6 months, you know, like it'll be great, you know, and Conglomeration can even get involved in that. And, maybe Adam gets beat up by the Death Riders or something that's collateral damage. I don't know. There's some crazy shit you could do here, you know?
Definitely. So let's jump into our news. So AEW All In at Texas cleared $1 million mark in tickets in the opening day. So it's good to hear that the All In Texas is going to be a big deal.
I wonder how much money it costs to throw a show in a stadium like that. It's got to be over $1 million, right? Like,
no idea. Yeah. Because it all depends on how much, you know, they made that agreement with Arlington. So did they, is it less for them to run it?
Right. Are they still in the situation where they were having to pay for stadiums? Remember, that was a thing where they had to pay to get into certain stadiums and WWE was getting paid to be in them, you know? Like,
yeah, so you always gotta.
Well, you always wonder that with AEW, like especially with a giant stadium like that. It's one thing when like Wembley, I'm sure, was really interested in having AEW, right? Just because they hadn't had wrestling there in God knows how long. I'm sure they made a boatload of money off those 80,000 tickets, you know? Like, But at the same time, I wonder, you know what I mean? Especially, or is it even worse on AEW for AEW in those scenarios? Because the bigger the stadium, the harder it's going to be to convince them that you're going to fill it, right? I don't know. It's interesting. These are conversations I wish we could have openly with Tony Khan. I wish he was like not the type of business person that just keeps everything super close to the chest because he doesn't have any reason to be public with it. Because I think AEW fans would be a lot less vocal about stuff like this.
Promoting of it's working, because this is already the third biggest gate in the history of the company. So, and we're 6 months out, 7 months out. So, yeah, it's gonna be a big deal. We finally have some Luchasaurus news. We've been kind of mentioning this week in and week out. No news is good news, hopefully, and it sounds like that was the case. We finally heard from Brian Alvarez saying he is doing much better. I'm told he's working hard towards a comeback, and credits Tony Khan and the AEW medical staff for not only being patient with this, but also telling him to stay home the week before he collapsed, which may have saved his life. It was very serious. So, of course, looking out for Luchasaurus here, and who was hospitalized with pneumonia in both his lungs in September. So, obviously, big fans of Luchasaurus here. Austin,
100%.
The big brother fucking goat.
Glad to hear he's doing better. He's improving, because, I mean, that shit could have killed him, you know what I mean? And really talented. It would have been a fucking tragedy, another tragedy for fucking AEW to fucking have to deal with, you know? And we don't need that. I'm really glad. The guy deserves everything, man. He's worked so fucking hard. I'm trying to think of a comp to him. Like a guy that just has been given nothing outside of the Christian stuff, which he ended up with a TNT championship that lasted a while. And I know it wasn't really his championship run, but people will remember that as his championship run. Let's be honest. It's AEW here. You know what I mean? We don't act weird about that shit. You know what I mean? I suspect he's going to bounce back big, because I think he's really talented.
Well, I hope so. Yeah.
And maybe he comes back and betrays Chris. What if they hold his return until Christian's about to cash in and he blocks the cash in? That would be good. That'd be good. And then you start that feud. That, hey, they've been teasing it for like, what, 2-3 years now? This him breaking off from Christian? So I would be so down, especially if it brings back the Luchasaurus name. Like maybe Jungle Boy is like longingly looking off in the distance, potentially abandoning, you know, the Elite or something. Not yet, but like, you know, he just looks at him like, interesting, you know, like, yeah, I don't know. Actually, I don't want Jack Perry to do that, but that'd be interesting, you know, who knows.
So they're adding more to Wrestle Dynasty, and this week they announced a special New Japan versus CMLL Lucha Gauntlet match. 8 participants, 4 from New Japan, 4 from CMLL, will enter the ring at 1 minute intervals. First pinfall will end the bout. So, still unknown of who
all the women in the qualifying matches are like, excuse me, you just get to be on the shit, what?
So, and we did have more matches added this week. Zack Sabre versus Ricochet is obviously one. Shota versus Claudio. Mercedes Moné versus Rev Pro Undisputed British Women's Champion Mina Shirakawa in a double title match. David Finlay.
I didn't realize Mina was the Rev Pro champion. That's crazy.
Yep. And then Yoda Tsuji versus Jack Perry, Kenny Omega versus Gabe Kidd, Great O'Khan and his partner to be determined versus the Young Bucks for the vacant IWGP Tag Team titles, Persephone versus Athena versus Willow Nightingale versus...
Surely the Young Bucks aren't going to walk back into Japan and become tag champions again. Surely.
We'll talk about him in a second. Maybe. And then Tomohiro Ishii challenges either Shingo Takagi or Konosuke Takeshita for the championship, whoever holds the never open weight title following Wrestle Kingdom. And then obviously now this new Lucha Gauntlet match. So filling out that card. Speaking of the Young Bucks, they showed up at New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Style Evolved.
Is that the first time they've been back in Japan since they started AEW?
Well, I think this was in America, but...
But like with New Japan people, though, like in
I don't know if they did earlier on. I'd have to...
I know there was always talk of an AEW show in Japan.
I can't remember now if they did or not, but...
Well, there was talk of doing a show in Japan, right? And that's how they always talked about wanting to do their comeback there, right?
Yeah. Hence the Wrestle Dynasty thing, which will be... Right. Wrestle Dynasty is going to be...
This is that. This is essentially that. It's just not an AEW show. It's an AEW collaborative show, which is the same thing, if we're being honest. Because who we really think New Japan and the rest of the companies are fucking putting this on? No, this is probably mostly AEW putting up the money for this, I would think, right? You know what I mean?
They pretty much promised to take the IWGP tag team titles at Wrestle Dynasty. That's it. So, still no unsure of who Great Okan's partner is going to be. That's going to be interesting to see what they pick.
Imagine he just 1v2s them. Just fucking GGs. Young Bucks sent backpacking.
And I think we just got a glimpse into a future feud here at Boca Raton Championship Wrestling, where MJF was facing QT Marshall. He defeated him, and out came Big Boom AJ. And they get a big stare down going on. The crowd was pretty fucking into it. And we've been hearing more and more about how Tony Khan feels like, yeah, Big Boom AJ, this is something we can definitely bring back for some one-offs. So.
Now, I have a question, Charlie.
MJF Big Boom AJ writes itself.
It does. Has MJF ever faced, because MJF is organically over as a heel, I would say, right? Have we ever seen him face someone that's like truly, truly organically over as a baby face? Because I'm trying to think. Has there ever been really, truly, excuse me, sorry. Has there ever been like a truly like, you know, this guy was chosen by the crowd. There was no prior established him having done anything in wrestling that we could really point to that's like, holy shit, this guy's insane. Have we ever had that in AEW? I don't know.
I really don't know. I mean, the closest example would probably be Hook, but just by, you know, the association with the family and stuff, right? So, I don't know.
I'm sorry, my internet's being weird right now. Who did you compare to?
I was saying maybe the only kind of example, and it's not really one, is Hook. So
yeah, but Hook has never really hit that level that we at peak Hook, when we're at peak Hook levels, when everyone's sending Hook super hard. Yeah, 100%. But he never really the maintainability isn't there. I think AJ is going to be good no matter what. I think the crowd just loved the shit out of him, and I think because he's very much, I know this is something people say a lot, but he's very much like a lot of other people because he's just a working class dude that found his way because of TikTok. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah. Like, well, I assume he was a working class dude. He seems like a businessman, so maybe he actually is relatively well off. I don't actually know. But the point is, he was just some random dude for a long time that wanted to be a wrestler, right? Didn't obviously work out in the way that he would have wanted, and ended up just going a different way in life.
For years.
100%. And then he found something else that he could, you know, turn into a way to make money. So I think that could be one of the best feuds in MJF's career. And I know MJF will probably just want to do like a 2-week thing and dismiss it. Or something in his mind, maybe. I don't know. Maybe MJF is completely different than that.
MJF knows that.
Right? Well, he has to know, right?
He has been popping up on TikTok more and more with those kids that he was filming his Happy Gilmore 2 movie with. And MJF has been on their TikToks these past couple months.
Oh, I'm not. He's up on the social media for sure.
He knows.
Yeah, he knows. I wonder. Means,
and that everyone will be talking. This match will be on Barstool. He's going to rip into that motherfucker, and it's going to go viral. And it will. It'll be great for everyone involved.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they had AJ go back at him too. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And make himself look like a badass. You know? Ooh, what if they gave fucking Justice some cool stuff to say? I mean, obviously they want to like swear or something, but it'd be kind of funny if he said something about like MJF's
fuck
mom or something.
MJF.
Yeah, like your mom, MJF, or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, fucking hit him with the Rizzler. Rizzler hits the fucking nut tap on MJF.
Pretty much the last of this stuff we have here is all about the Ring of Khan stuff. So. It sounds like Matt Cardona has been offered an AEW contract. It's unclear if he is close to signing a deal with the company. So this pretty much all came in because Meltzer was asked, you know, AEWShop.com is selling a Cardona t-shirt. Is this a close sign that he's signing? And he goes, I don't know if he signed or anything, but yeah, he was offered a contract. That's all we know. So
we've offered him contract. We, as if we're part of AEW, they've offered him contracts before and he's turned them down. So, you know, like there was a meeting where he was in with Tony Khan allegedly and sitting down when Cody Rhodes was there for this, I think. And they were basically offering him a job and he just said no, essentially. Because he didn't realize he was being offered a contract, I think.
Yeah.
He has come out and said that there was something in it that he didn't like. I think he just fucking...
I think maybe this will be not the right thing to say.
I think Mike Cardona is just kind of an asshole about money. I'm just going to say it, you know, like, because he knows he's worth more now and that he could go get money at WWE if you wanted. If this guy just wants to make money, though, just go there. They'll pay you a lot over there, I promise. You know, we don't need a Matt Cardona. I like the guy. He's very talented. I do fear he'd get lost in the shuffle in AEW, unfortunately. You know, he might end up a Ring of Honor guy, you know, which maybe he's okay with. I don't know.
Yeah, look, I'm open to being surprised, but I just have no interest in this. I have no interest in the fucking final battle match at all. So it's just...
I'll tell you this. Yeah. If he was on weekly TV, we would like him a lot more. But we've just never really seen him. And all I've ever really seen of him is his feuds, his normal feuds, you know?
Yeah, but even the stuff he's been doing these past couple of weeks, none of it's been good.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I'm sure there's people that are enjoying it, and kudos to them. But yeah, I just... That's just me. I'm hoping...
I just always go back to that IC title that he won in front of his dad, and then the next night The Miz won it, like, off of him immediately. Like, I feel bad for the guy, you know?
I used to listen to his podcast with Hawkins, so.
I actually used to as well, and then I got really annoyed because the segments of that podcast are just fucking awful.
Chris Jericho showed up at a GCW event, attacked Matt Cardona and Effie. Again, I think GCW and Ring of Honor are doing more shows together. If you want to play devil's advocate, what the fuck does this mean for Ricky Starks? I have no idea. He was the one pulled from the shows, and now they're working together, and he's still not on the shows. I don't know. I have no idea what that means. It's not my fucking ballgame. But, yeah, that they're continuing this at GCW. Jericho showed up in an AEW shirt, and this, that, and the other. So, that being said, let's get into some final battle predictions before we run into Dynamite Rampage and Collision. Winter is coming this week. Up first, Duke, Red Velvet versus Layla Hirsch for the ROH Women's World Television Championship. Who do you have?
Yeah, I think... Shit, is Red Velvet even had any real defenses of this thing yet? I mean, like...
I don't know, on pay-per-view.
I would think... I mean, maybe this is just me thinking a little bit too hard about Ring of Honor. I'm thinking in my mind, you get at least one title defense out of this reign, right? I mean, it's kind of been... It sucks with Ring of Honor.
She's been champion for a long time, but I'm with you. I don't really know...
Like, she won it at the last pay-per-view? I'm thinking that's what happened, right?
Last time she wrestled in a singles match, a one-on-one match, was the street fight with Diamante about a month and a half ago.
Okay, so yeah, I mean,
she won the TV title at the pay-per-view, and this is her first time defending it on pay-per-view since.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's even though I haven't been covering Ring of Honor for a little bit, I do remember covering it at least up to that point. You know what I mean, so anyway, probably defends here. I would think she's probably going to retain because
yeah,
why throw this one away unless you just have no faith in it or something, you know, like. Which maybe
I'm with you. Yeah, I got Red Velvet retaining. I think this is working out well. This is kind of where, you know, they've always saw Red Velvet as more than just enhancement talent, and I think this title reign is proving that for her because she's, you know, little things like that are making noise each and every week. It feels like so. Up next, we have Lee Moriarty versus To Be Determined, pure wrestling rules match for the ROH Pure Championship. Don't know who he's fighting. I'll say it's Nigel McGuinness, and Nigel McGuinness wins. So that's where I'm at. You?
Tatsuya Shibata retains.
All right. Up next, we have Brian Cage versus Willie Mack versus Commander versus Mark Davis versus AR Fox versus Blake Christian. Survival of the fittest match for the ROH World Television Championship. Who do you got?
Brian Cage retains.
Yeah, I'm with you here, Brian Cage retaining. I'll tell you what though, if you give me a Willie Mack win here, I might shit my pants a little bit. All right, Jay Lethal versus QT Marshall singles match. Is my pick. I am going QT Marshall.
Yeah, QT Marshall, Big Boom AJ make some kind of appearance.
The Sons of Texas, Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara defending their titles in a Texas bull rope match versus the Righteous.
Yeah, probably they retain, right? Because Sons of Texas probably walk in with championships into Texas, probably, maybe.
Maybe. I'm going to take the Righteous here. I think we had a title change. Because he is still Trios champion, as far as I know. So I'm going to take the Righteous here. And then our what they're calling a double main event, Chris Jericho versus Matt Cardona, singles match for the ROH World Championship. This is me. I'll take Matt Cardona wins this title and takes it on the indies, like how they seem to want.
Yeah, it seems to be the way they're going, so I'll agree with that.
And our main event, Athena versus Billy Stark, singles match for the ROH Women's World Championship. Is it finally happening, Duke?
Literally done the match 2 years in a row. If we don't do it here, we're never doing it. Straight up. I mean, that just has to be how we look at this, right? Like, at least not while Athena's champion. So I have to think Billy wins it here. We predicted that last year. This is going to be Ring of Honor match of the year. It has been the last 2 years. You know what I mean?
You can pencil it in. This is yep. Ring of Honor match of the year.
Yep.
And it's going to be Billy Stark's.
You could have penciled it in 12 months ago when they had the last match and she lost. You know what I mean? Straight up. We talked about it. We'll be doing this again next year. If Athena is still champion a year from now, she's going to have this match again. And they're going to probably put it on Billy then. And it makes sense that they put it out like that, because that's usually how Ring of Honor does its championship, main event championship reigns anyway, is if you tease it up for like that.
And this show is on Friday. So this being kind of the first Ring of Honor card since Ring of Honor's been Ring of Con, that neither of us are really tuned in with the storylines. How do you feel about the card in general? And I mean, look, no matter what, I'm excited for Billy and Athena, straight up. Like, so just kind of where are you at now that it's been about a month or so since we've taken Ring of Honor off of our slate personally. So
I can tell you that because I have not watched how ridiculous this thing, like, rushed the build. Because let's be honest, probably half these matches weren't made, like, a week ago. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just being honest.
I don't think Jay Lethal and QT Marshall are in a blood feud right now.
Yeah. So, like,
I'd love it if they were, though.
It'd be cool if they were.
I haven't heard a single ounce about that fucking
match. I haven't
heard
a peep about this shit in weeks. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I mean,
all I've heard about is the two championship matches, the two big ones.
I only heard about the bull rope match on fucking Collision or whatever it was that it was on. It might have been mentioned on Rampage or something. One of the two shows. I can't remember which one it was, but either way. I gotta be honest, I'm not that excited for this, but I'm really excited to see Billy finally win the championship. I'll tell you that.
100%.
She's deserved it for like a year. So, you know, like.
Yeah. Final battle. Let's do this thing right with final battle this year. Let's go out there, because even if our excitement is down, I think that's going to mean a lot more other people's excitement is down. I want these. I'm rooting so hard for the talent to go out there, have match of the fucking just tear the house down. The greatest final battle ever. Not happening. But hey, it might, right? Let's jump into AEW Dynamite, where this is my second to last week covering it.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, because we have
the holiday show, which is this week, which would be next week's show. I guess I have two more shows.
Technically, yes.
Following this. So three in total. My bad. I jumped the gun a little bit. All right, and we opened this up with Excalibur welcoming us with Shivani and Nigel. Nice to have Nigel here. Shivani mentioned having the hell scared out of him interviewing Jon Moxley after what took place on Collision. We open up with Jon Moxley and Pac taking on and defeating Orange Cassidy and Switchblade Jay White via disqualification. Pretty solid match. Mid to solid, I would say. You know, nice 5, 6 out of 10. You'd probably get a 6 out of 10 on the Letterboxd scale, you know? Or what would that be? 3 out of 5 on the Letterboxd scale. You'd get a thumbs up in the movie world, but I didn't think it was phenomenal.
Takes like a 0.5 hit because of the fucking DQ, you know? Like,
yeah, that DQ sucked.
Yeah.
Action-packed. Pac and Orange Cassidy, where I loved their back and forth together. Christian Cage on the sidelines. This ends in DQ from, it was Hangman Page, right? He just jumps in, tackles Moxley. Cassidy goes to pull him off. Page punches him in the throat. Orange punch. Paige ducks. White takes the blow. They set up their four-way match. They leave through the crowd. All three top challengers for the title were left motionless.
And White takes the blow sounds like a line from like a Tarantino movie.
Yeah. So we set up our four-way for the pay-per-view. Now, this four-way is John Moxley, Orange Cassidy, Jay White, and Hangman Adam Page. So, all right, let's talk about this for a second. So I am attending World's End. This is so
you shall be there in person.
I've been following this card with vigorous intentions, you could say. And Christian Cage is also pretty much saying he's going to cash in his Christian in the Bank. I don't know, man. Our buddy Dart, which he doesn't mind us, you know, mentioning sometimes his takes on the podcast. He's loving this. He is so excited for the four-way. He's also going to the show. He is unbelievably excited for the four-way, which Moxley did call a fatal four-way. It's kind of funny. It's not doing it for me, man, at all. Hangman just lost. Cassidy just lost. He's been humiliated every step of the way this past month. This John Moxley title reign is... It's my least favorite title reign for the world title since we've had our show. I mean, I am really, really out on this title reign. And now we're doing a four-way match, which me playing, kind of being a little annoyed at the title reign in my mind, it feels like this is just an excuse to fucking push it forward. So, you know, I don't know, man.
I'll keep it a buck with you. I'm not the most vibing with this title.
Yeah.
Hold on. Am I coming through clearly? Hold on. Sorry, yeah, my mic cut out for a second. Sorry. It was doing weird stuff on my dashboard. But anyway, I still feel like there's opportunity that they again, every time I listen, now it's not been as much the last few weeks because they haven't been getting, I don't think, as much time, or the story they've been telling really hasn't been fitting them talking like this. But like, if you go back to the beginning of this feud, John Moxley's promos were like really different than they are now. Like, it was so much about like bringing change and all that. And like, the only change that I can denote that they've really brought in AEW, other than like, I guess, riling some people up to action that were maybe in their minds being complacent in story, right? Yeah. Like, other than that, like, if that's the case, mission accomplished. Everybody's targeting you now. But the thing is, like, what's the end game with this? You know what I mean? Like, where are we going? You know, what is his plan?
We don't have people protecting the stadium anymore.
Interesting note. You know those little videos they keep showing of Moxley with the flare in the desert?
Yeah, I saw somebody advertisement for the pay-per-view.
I saw somebody point out that kind of flare and the way he's holding it can sometimes be used to signal SOS. Maybe it's like a signal that he's losing everything at World's End. I don't know, but I saw that on Blue Sky. I forget who posted that, but shout out whoever posted that on Blue Sky. That was an interesting theory. Either way. Those little promos are really cool out in like the crackled, you know, desert, like wasteland.
And all the stuff we were getting on the back of the truck was fantastic. And it's just like, it feels like we've turned into chemical warfare and mediocre matches with five-star talent. And I just don't know what's happening. And now it feels so convoluted that I just hope the night ends at this point and Christian's the world champion. Because you know he's not going to hold it for long. And that's going to be a great fucking time when he holds it. So yeah. that's where I'm at with this. Let's move along here. We had a Wild West vignette with Bandito riding horseback.
Oh, these are so fun.
Other cowboys are calling him out that he's under arrest. He can do this the easy way or the hard way, man. You got two fucking options and they're not good. He got off his high horse, took off his cape, laid all four out, gave one of them the 21 plex. Bandito was a fucking rock star. He's a fucking...
By the way, that guy, he twitched at the end, but he never got up. That was a death
twitch.
He
never did.
He died.
Dude, the one guy with the fucking eyes open at the end. Dude.
Oh, yeah. He was dead.
Yeah. These video packages fucking rock. This is how you bring someone back. Good for them. I am so excited to get Bandito back in the fold. So fucking excited.
Hear me out. First opponent for Bandito. I know he'll probably be coming off losses. but throw this guy against Beast Mortos, bro. Just let him fucking cook.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in. Nah, fuck it. Throw him against Christian Cage for the world title right away. Cage.
Luchasaurus makes the save.
Cage cut a promo. Hook appeared. Beat the shit out of him. This kicked ass. Hook sent him flying through food on a table. Sabian and Wayne showed up, tried to fight him off. Hook stood tall. And yeah, Hook's been doing very well with this Christian Cage feud. Up next, we had Will Ospreay taking on and defeating Claudio Castagnoli in the Continental Classic Gold League, now that both men are tied at 6-6. Yeah, I thought this was a really good tournament match. And my God, Will Ospreay right away. That Spanish fly instantly, the Sasuke special, the pip pip cheerio, you name it. He is just such an athletic specimen. And funny enough, I was watching this match with one of our friends here, Perp, and he was like, I've never seen someone look like that in wrestling. I was like, yep, that checks out. That's kind of the impression you want when Ospreay does these matches. Because most likely, every time someone's watching a show, there's one person at least out there watching it for the first time. And it's how do you make that impact? Right.
Well, that's the thing we always hear, like, old school wrestling marks talk about, right? Is, like, they often talk about, oh, this flashy stuff is all good when they talk about, like, the Young Bucks or Kenny or Will or whoever, right? And how I'm sure they'll end up talking about Konosuke eventually if he ever gets that kind of recognition, right? But, like, the truth of the matter is, I have always thought, and this just confirms it for me, that if you watch Will, having never seen anything other than just like maybe a wrestling match or a few images of wrestling in your life, you're going to think it's something completely different than what you're going to see from Will. And that's why I think the business shifted toward this sort of everyone doing half of Hangman Page's moveset style of wrestling. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Hopefully the next guy is at least interesting, right? Anyway.
Because online, wrestling discourse is always going to be the same. It's how can you watch that fake shit? And then, you know, the reality is you got to just, if you want to break that mold, how do you get people to break that mold? And it's always the big fun storyline. So they see someone like a Will Ospreay or like many people did for years. They saw a Ricochet. They're like, holy shit.
Well, there's two
shit.
Different schools of thought to this in wrestling, right? And you saw this really come out back in 2016 when those two had their match, right? Which is that some people are of the opinion, I would say Will and Ricochet probably are, probably Seth Rollins is as well, considering he very much innovated that style in WWE, you know, in the last decade or so, in terms of making it popular the way it is now, the kind of stuff that him and like Will and various other people do. But I think at the same time, there is also a group of people that think, well, we should have people wrestle like Bryan, or have people wrestle like Nigel, or have people wrestle like William Regal, because when people take it more seriously, you know, it's going to be, you know, more conducive to getting new people interested. I think there is people that believe out there like Will and Ricochet that if you do this more innovative, different shit, that it's going to draw more people in. Because I think the idea that you leaning into that it is fake, right, and not caring and not giving a shit and not really, you know, and not checking to make sure everything doesn't look a little too clean. You know what I mean?
Like, anytime literally I see a post talking about WWE or AEW on like just a generic news site, it's the comments are literally filled with nothing but that. And then you have the people within the two atmospheres just trying to eat each other alive. It's like, oh my God, you just shrink your fandom so quickly.
So I do think at some point we all just need to reconcile and recognize that even though I think Kenny Omega was the first to realize that's why he started calling AEW a smorgasbord. Because just because everything in wrestling isn't something that's to his taste doesn't mean it doesn't have a place on his show or a show that he's on. And
100%.
That's why I think Kenny will end up, you know, people talk about Brian being the person to lead AEW. If Kenny's got enough brain cells left after being beat to death in every match, he'll do it, you know what I mean? Because I think he's got a fucking great mind for understanding how the business works and how people are, you know? Like,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, and the match, fucking great, by the way. I put in my notes, this is fantastic. A masterclass in big match wrestling between the two. Because, you know, you put these two on paper and you're like, okay, well, didn't we see them like in like a something before against each other recently? Like, this isn't the first time they've ever touched, right? Or is it? I can't remember.
Might have been one of those all-star tags, but I think it was the first time they faced.
That could be then. Maybe this is when we were just like, I don't know, when we first saw it on paper, because Claudio hasn't always been perfect, you know what I mean? And that's not to say anything about Claudio. It's just not every match with Claudio is a perfect match of styles, you know what I mean? Where it works perfectly, just because he's a very big man and, you know, anyway. You know, but
I just find it really difficult to describe the level that Will's wrestling on at this point, man. Like, no one's touching him for Wrestler of the Year. Just lock it in. It's over. Yeah. There's no fucking chance. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's him, you know? I'm sorry. I don't make the rules. I just enforce them.
Claudio wanted the neutralizer. Ospreay got the jackknife pin for the flash win. He was going to hit him with a chair. Darby came out with a baseball bat and ran through the crowd. Next week, Ospreay versus Allen. Ah! Renee was backstage with Ricochet. He said, tonight is why he came to AEW. He has Brody King for the first time. Big, bad, and scary. One thing he's not is Ricochet. Pulls out his... he looks in his suit jacket, pulls out the MVP Hurt Syndicate card, saying, tonight he has all the cards. Hello, what have we here? That's when we get the MJF arriving. We'll get the highlights from Rampage. That little Renee interview with Kyle O'Reilly, pretty much saying... Matt Taven and Mike Bennett interrupted, said, they don't need to do this. MJF is making them look like idiots. Relax, regardless of what happens out there, we're still family. Yeah. He says, I should have thought about that before Roddy got hurt. We had the match, which was your favorite of the week. FTR backstage talking about Fight for the Fallen. Fans in North Carolina said they want to put their names in the hat for being the part of the main event of the show. They invite the Death Brothers to have a chat with them on Collision this week. Chris Jericho's New York Minute. Good God. Tony Schiavone. Yeah,
the last one of these was not that bad. This one was one of the worst AEW TV segments ever.
It just feels... I don't really know what to say how it makes me feel watching that. Because it's not like, you know, so
I'll put it to you like this.
Like,
it made me not want to watch the Ring of Honor show to see the fucking contract signing. Yeah, that's how much this put me off.
Because I don't want to, like, oversell and be like, oh, it was one of those segments that's so bad you're almost embarrassed to be a wrestling fan, because we've all known what those segments are.
No, this wasn't that. This was just like peak horrible Jericho. No, I'm just going to say it. This was peak bad Jericho. I think he knew that while he was doing the fucking segment, honestly, because I don't know. I just did not land.
Tony Schiavone interviews Darby Allin, saying his quest is never over. The Death Riders are chipping away at everything the AEW has built. He thinks of what they did to Danielson, the backbone of AEW.
Bro, he punched himself in the face.
First place, many of us got a living on wrestling. They don't do anything about it. It's going to keep happening. People think he's reckless. Boom, boom, boom. Starts bleeding from the mouth. Jesus. Violence doesn't bother him. Ain't that the truth?
Bro, that makes me... Remember when he fucking fake fought fucking... what was his name? Or did he really fight him? The fucking dude that got kicked out? Fucking... And probably fucked his ass up, bro. He fucked himself up pretty good.
Nothing fools yourself better than the lies you tell yourself. Damn, Darby?
Darby's secretly one of the best promos in AEW. He's super subtle, but like he says stuff that's like fucking brilliant. Like, I would love to see...
God, I wish there was a world where he was going for that world title this fucking...
In two weeks. He should be the next contender. I don't care what anybody says. If it's not going to be one of the four at the pay-per-view, it should be him. And even if one of the four wins at the pay-per-view, I think Darby should still get a title shot.
Yeah. Ricochet takes on and defeats Brody King. The crowd was pretty behind King in this match. Classic size versus speed. Ricochet was trying to do all he could. He was getting pissed off. It was kind of fun.
Side of Ricochet. He's like, fuck, man, I'm too small for this. What the fuck, man? He's getting pissed. You know, like.
It was, let's see how the Hurt Syndicate thing plays out. Ricochet hit a DDT on the exposed corner buckle twice. Hit the dazed King with the spirit gun twice for the win. Big win for Ricochet, pinning Brody King. King's a badass motherfucker, man.
Yeah,
so,
it's tough. This is a weird spot for King this year. It's been kind of like, he's weird. Maybe we don't put him in next year because it feels like he's kind of in the same spot he was last year where he's not really winning
a lot of these matches. He's a big threat. But even though he's only got one win, he still feels
but
like
even
a
last year, he
threat.
Felt like he was like three up, like the one the first three matches, you know what I mean? So it felt like he was legit, like, oh my God, if you run into this dude, you're fucked, you know? Like,
yeah.
It doesn't really feel like there's anyone besides Kyle like that this year, you know? Like, but I mean, by the way, I just wanted to realize, you know what I realized? That Kyle's doing a good version of what House of Torture tried to do during that Super Junior stream we watched. And it wasn't bad when House of Torture, did we even admit that? Like, it didn't ruin that tournament or anything. It was a boring part of that tournament, you know what I mean? Like, but, you know, hey, whatever. Yeah, go ahead, though.
Yeah.
Someone hit the line, rampaged and pillaged. That was pretty funny.
It was pretty good. Pretty much to close out the show, we had Private Party welcoming fans to the vault. They're interrupted by Andretti and Leo Rush. Is this where they were wearing those coats? They're fucking metal. They offer him champagne. Andretti won a little title shot instead. Said what Jay wants is a big, juicy, interrupted by Layla Gray. Walking in with Top Flight, everyone starts bickering. Zay and Quinn suggest both teams fight it out on Collision to see who gets the tag team title shot. Those jackets were fucking metal. All right?
Yeah, that's a good look.
Those jackets were fucking metal. Renee was backstage with Mercedes Moné and Anna Jay ahead of their TBS title match next week. No physicality. Today marks the 200th day of her title reign and defended her title 10 times so far. She plugged her match with the Strong Style Evolve coming up against Hazuki, which, holy fuck, the buzz around that match. Yeah. Mercedes fucking killed it there with Hazuki. Moné cut her off, praised what Jay has accomplished. I love when people do that. Even though Mercedes is this overarching badass heel, she does still praise what she's done. But then, you know, you got to shortcut it because, you know, you went to Japan to train. It's cute what she's done at 26. And then she starts saying what she's done by 26. But I was like, you know, we often talk about you don't want to destroy your opponent to make him feel like nothing. She praised her here. That makes your opponent matter more. It's the little things. It's little. Jay put over Moné as being one of the best in the world. She's made a living off being the underdog. All she needs is 3 seconds to shock the world. And yeah, I'm excited for this match. I'm very excited for this match. Between this and the Darby Ospreay match, it's going to be some good eating tomorrow night.
Let this main event fucking holiday bash. 100%. Fuck it. Book it.
Video package of the history between Mariah and Mina. That was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we get to the main event match itself. Mariah May takes on and defeats Mina Shirakawa to retain the AEW Women's World Championship. Very, very good main event spot here that they had.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd, 100% behind Mina Shirakawa. We want Mina. She had big spots throughout the match that gave everyone hope that she could end up pulling this off. She continues to hit the Storm Zero out of nowhere, and it led to another title defense. Thunder Rosa was in the crowd kind of having some fun with her signs, because she said last week on Collision, I believe it was, she's like, I'm facing whoever coming out of there. I've earned it. And she has. She's picked 100%. Up good wins. But they were fucking laying waste. Stiff kicks. Drop kick battle royal, you could call this match. Really well figure fours. Springboard fucking... There was a headbutt from a springboard headbutt, it looked like. Battled into a rolling elbow. Just stiff. Felt like Japanese fucking pro wrestling.
Oh, 100%. And it's really like a Stardom main event or something, you know what I mean?
They
like,
killed it. They also touched on how they had a match in the Stardom version of the, basically, I think Excalibur put it as the Stardom version of the Continental Classic. And just real quick, post-match, Toni Storm's old music hits. She came out and made her AEW debut with Thunder Rosa holding up a WTF sign. What'd you think of the match, and what'd you think of our newest AEW signee, Toni Storm?
Yeah, man. I mean, fucking what a great spot to debut a new wrestler. And first of all, I mean, right straight into the main event scene. I mean, you can't put somebody over more than that. You know what I mean? Putting it right up against the winner's coming
main event Sting spot when Sting debuted. So,
dude, that's
carrying on the tradition. Good for Toni Storm.
Introducing a new wrestler and making them a big deal and establishing them as a top main event star immediately. It's great. I love it. I love to see it. I'm really excited to see what Toni Storm does. Before I get to that, though, I do want to comment on the match that we had before, because it was a really good match. This might have been if we don't do generally, I don't believe a specific. Do we do a women's match of the year? Actually, am I tweaking? Actually, do we? I don't remember.
We usually just lumped in. Yep.
Yeah, we do all matches under one banner. That I thought so. So this is like, you know, if there was like a women's match of the year, this could definitely be it. It was really, really well done. It deserved the spot that it got in the main event. They used the time that they had well. I remember when I got to this match, I was like, oh, they gave them a little bit less time than I would have wanted. But it was still enough, you know what I mean? Yes. And so
hitting
you know,
that overrun helped.
Yes.
Because I want to say it was like 9:50 when the match started, but I'm like, okay, we're getting it over on at least.
100%, yeah. So we knew we were getting this slightly longer than normal women's match. So, you know, we knew they were going to have something. And I don't expect them to start getting 20 minutes until we're on pay-per-view, you know what I mean? But, you know, I do want to see a long women's match, maybe even an Iron Woman match, if you will, or an Iron Man match, whatever you want to call it, you know, or something like that.
But, I think the two you do it with is Mariah and Mercedes. I mean, seriously.
Why not?
They are fucking swinging very, very high right now.
Yeah, honestly, you have to have one of them not be champion anymore. So you have to do a little bit of work to get there. But
like, Toni Storm has like been a shoo-in for Women's Wrestler of the Year, but Mariah May, the past 4 months has really, really, I mean, every fucking title defense has been great. I mean, she is crushing it on all aspects.
The only thing that's going to throw a wrench in this is if Toni Storm somehow, you know, is able to, like, have, like, the match of the year at World's End, which she could. I mean, she could. They could absolutely do it. The two of them are absolutely capable. So
what if we do an angle here where Toni Storm ends up becoming the super fan of Mariah and starts copying her?
That would be pretty fucking funny. Like, I'm not going to lie. That would be pretty hilarious.
It'd be pretty good. No, but Thunder Rosa versus Mariah May at World's End was announced as a Tijuana street fight. Does that sound right? So that match is going to kick ass. Really solid Dynamite. Honestly, if you had picked, since I had first picked for favorite this week, it felt pretty easy for me what I was taking. But if you were taking that Collision main event, this probably would have been my favorite this week. I really, really like this match. And the closing angle, of course, ties into it. So
100%.
Yeah, very well done. Very good Dynamite winner is coming. And they got to hit on those legacy shows like that. So a great crowd out of Missouri. I hate Missouri. Very good crowd.
Juice would not be there. Good thing he dodged Missouri. He probably would have had to wrestle here, bro.
He would have. Let's jump into Rampage winner is coming, where Matt Cardona takes on and defeats Brian Keith. Love seeing Brian Keith get the singles match. Main takeaway from this, there was a really good test of strength that I actually liked. And it was just Cardona hit a good flapjack, took him outside the ring, beat his ass a little bit. And he hit the, what the hell's that finish called? It was like he blocked a German suplex and hit the silence is what it's called. Okay. The silence. A promo for Shop AEW with Harley Cameron singing a song. Toni Storm defeated Harley Cameron. Welcome to AEW. A
little Gold Coast Aussie battle.
Yeah. Pretty neat to see. They shot a thing. I don't know if this was online only or if it was in one of the shows. My timeline's a little mixed up. Where she was getting her backstage interview after her first AEW match. She does this thing. She's like, oh my God, look over there. It's Mark Briscoe. And she's like waving to him. And Mark's just like, what? She's like, oh my God, I can't believe I work here. Toni Storm is fucking incredible. And she backs it up in the ring. And I've seen Harley Cameron back on television too. Storm Zero for the victory out of Toni Storm. Really good showcase. And you know what, Duke? We often mention this. You want to make Rampage matter? How about Toni Storm's return match on Rampage? That'll get you to fucking tune in. I don't want to be that guy, but if only they treated Rampage like this the past couple years, it probably wouldn't be going away, because these past couple weeks of Rampage have been fucking awesome.
It's kind of sad that it took them all the way up until the last weeks of Rampage to fucking realize how to properly use it. I don't know. It's like, we've had good episodes of Rampage in the past. I think it just got lost in the shuffle of the booking, man. It did. It's tough to book for 5 hours of wrestling. It's such an odd number. It's like, I bet Tony Khan finds it very easy to put together a Dynamite and a Collision card every week, and then Rampage is left at the end, because even though it's in the middle and you kind of have to make the stories work, a lot of times you could see those matches just being thrown together, you know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, it felt like a lot of times it was just a place you put somebody you didn't have something for.
Yeah.
And it feels like we've really gotten away from that anyway. We kind of just embraced the suck of there being a bit of a churn to the divisions, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, Rampage turned into, we liked it, but it turned into Top Flight Simulator. I mean, it was literally them every week with maybe a Statlander squash or a Deonna Purrazzo squash, it felt like. But
fucking Top Flight Simulator is fucking crazy.
Up next, we have Deonna Purrazzo defeat Shazza McKenzie, who showed up a couple times this week. She looked pretty good. Fujiwara armbar spelled victory for Deonna Purrazzo. I like seeing her just showcase her dominance more, man. I'm cool with it. I love it. Marvez interviewed Chris Statlander backstage and asked where she'll go next. She gave credit to Mercedes. She'll wrestle on Collision. Whoever wins on Dynamite between Mercedes and Anna Jay, she'll become for that TBS championship once again.
Man, how good is the AEW women's division that she had been off for a few weeks since the pay-per-view? And I was like, wait, I thought Chris showed back up briefly, but I guess not.
Nope.
Okay.
This division's fucking loaded. And now with this new debut signing, I'll stop.
No, you're right. We keep adding more and more. We added Toni Storm, bro. She's a new member of the division, and now it's getting even crazier, the amount of people. The talent just keeps getting added like crazy. I mean, you know.
Shivani brings out to the ring the Callis family, Takeshita, Fletcher, and Lance Archer. Crowd's reaction is a telltale sign of what everyone thinks of the fucking Callis family. He said that was pretty good. He's getting over and making money. He praised those boys. He asked Ospreay, how does it feel, bruv? And then best tournament wrestler, Okada goes, how does it feel, bitch? Fletcher grabs the mic, so much boo. So it was on Rampage. Copy. He'd be the winner of the C2. Mark Briscoe, nobody would get in the way of his destiny. He declared, Callis declares that the family were the 1%ers of AEW, and that nobody was big enough and bad enough to get in the ring with them.
Whoa. I don't know if you want to be a 1%er right now, Don Callis. Hold on. I mean, you might be hanging around too many Italians.
Take a step back, Donnie boy. Take a step back. And then two big bad motherfuckers, Powerhouse Hobbs and Mark Davis, come out and defeat Konosuke Takeshita and Lance Archer. Really solid main event. Big meaty men slapping meat. We're getting Hobbs versus Takeshita at World's End. Oh, buddy. That's going to be fucking good.
Takeshita and Archer would be a fun tag team to just throw on Japan shows, too, because you know Archer is liked in Japan, and Takeshita, they'd be loved to have.
I mean, I'll say this again.
Do we have any announcement for Takeshita for Wrestle Dynasty? We better. If not, that's fucking criminal, you know?
Yeah, Ishii.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember.
Him or Shingo, whoever wins that holds that title is facing Ishii.
Oh, so you think he's going to win that off Shingo then? Yeah, and then go on to face Ishii?
Anyways.
That'd be pretty cool. Come on. I mean, that guy needs to be on that show.
Back-to-back nights at the Dome.
That guy needs to be on that show. 100%, you know?
And yeah, just another really fucking good Rampage. And yeah, that's it for that. So handing it over to you where we have AEW Collision.
Yeah, no offense to everybody. I'm going to do a bit of a truncated version of Collision because we're running tight on time here. I got to get to work, so I'm going to try and get through this quickly. I apologize if I don't give it a full attention that it deserves. Look, man, I tried. We had an extra long show this week with the Ring of Honor stuff, so we had a recap of the Continental Classic to open stuff of a Will being saved by Darby, saved, quote-unquote, mostly just came out. They had a post-match conversation where he's like, look, man, I just want to focus on this tournament, man. I don't really give a shit about, I care about this Death Riders thing, but I really, if I focus on that, then I probably won't win this tournament. I really need this tournament for me because I've been losing matches lately. And Darby's like, what kind of man are you, basically? Because he's like, you should be willing to step up no matter what, basically, essentially, is what he's saying. You know what I mean? And yeah, so they have a bit of a disagreement here, but Will has said that even though right now he's being a little selfish, I mean, he doesn't use those words, but that's the takeaway I have from it. You know what I mean? He's being a little selfish right now, that when he wins, that he will step up and fight alongside then. And Darby's basically like, what happens when that's, it might be too late by then. If there might not be another Continental Classic if you go that way. So it's interesting to see. This is going to be the story for Will in this tournament, I think, Charlie. It's going to be Will give up his place as the potential championship here, winner, to go on to, to become the Continental Champion and win the C2. That will he give that up to save AEW? That's a fucking brilliant story right there. I love that. Because Darby's clearly willing to sacrifice it, you know?
No, so. Yeah, and it makes for a very interesting storyline.
Absolutely. Mark Briscoe cut a short promo on Kyle Fletcher, who responded sort of, like he was sort of a little short response. Mortos growled, Frank Mortos attorney, and Okada called him Bitch Mortos.
Come on.
He did. That's what he said.
I know. He's a son of a
bitch. I don't make the rules. I just enforce them. All right. One of my favorite women's matches this week. Willow Nightingale took on Jamie Hayter in the Wrestle Dynasty International Women's Cup Finals. It's a nice little battle of Wills to start things off, which Willow ended up winning, of course, because, she's a big, if there's meaty women slapping meat, that will be her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, checks out.
Yep. Nope. She's muscular as fuck, bro. She could toss me across a goddamn room and I'd probably let her anyway. I don't think I could stop her actually, if I'm being honest, let her fucking, she could do whatever the fuck she wants probably. Anyway. She probably bench presses more than I weigh anyway. And then, Orange Cassidy, I mentioned this in my notes. So I watched, AEW's, Meal in a Match, which interestingly enough, he was on there with, Willow Nightingale and they were eating pot pies. And he said in that he thinks that AEW has the best women's division ever assembled. I think I agree with him, to be honest with you, especially after some this fucking match, praise, dude. Man.
Yeah.
That's about the best endorsement I can give this match right there. It went about exactly as we expected. Julia caused the lights to go out. Willow hit a springboard moonsault. Has she done that before?
Not that I know of.
At least fucking not on AEW TV. That was a sick little fucking springboard moonsault she hit off the ropes. That's sick. I like that. And then she also, I think she tried to hit like a moonsault or something like that off the top rope or some shit like that. Either way, she hit some really good stuff.
The Pounce fucking annihilated Jamie. And then almost Jamie almost broke her fucking knee doing a backbreaker. That was insane. You know what I mean? Like, and then she hit her with the Babe with the powerbomb. Just an excellent opening match of the show. And we had Julia turn out the lights. So that was about what we expected to happen. She messed with Jamie and then that was in the back of her head. Willow ends up getting the win off the advantage. So Willow will go on to Wrestle Dynasty. To what is that match for again? I forget. Like, if you're facing three other women and you get something, right?
Like, I think it's just like a fucking, it's like a cup thing.
Oh, I mean, that's fine. That's a tournament trophy.
Yeah,
that's important in Japan.
Best
so.
In the world type fucking women's match. Was
yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah. I'm down. I'm sure there'll be some other really interesting contenders
winner,
in it.
Okay,
so.
They did put it's the International Women's Cup Final, and okay. Winner receives a women's championship match for the participating promotion of their choosing.
Okay, so she could get a women's title shot in the AEW, Ring of Honor, CMLL, or New Japan if she wanted. So if you wanted to set up another match with Mercedes, that'd be a really good way to do it, actually, you know, or if you wanted to just go a different way, that's pretty cool. Let me see. We had a video package of Brody King. Actually, did you have anything you wanted to add about that match before I just like bowl
I
forward?
Thought it was awesome and really cool to see Julia back. And
yeah. Oh, yeah. She actually did show up. Yeah.
Great winner here. I mean, this is we weren't sure last week how this was going to go, but I think this is awesome. And you know, I think Willow's great representation for AEW at the Tokyo Dome.
100%. And if anybody deserves to be wrestling in like a international women's tournament right now, Jamie Hayter's not been around for the last year. She's been hurt. You know what I mean? So
yeah, let Willow be the representation. Absolutely. I'm totally in.
Yep. Willow's done a great job representing this company for the women so far. She had a great run as TBS champion. You know what I mean? I see no reason why we can't have her be a representative in the same way as anybody else. Brody King talked about the Continental Classic and spit some fire at Ricochet, calling him a coward, basically, you know, saying the way that you wrestle is cowardly. I was like, shit, you know, all right, you know.
Yep, let's get a taste of that, huh?
Right. I've never seen someone describe the like flippy sort of like aerial style as cowardly. It's interesting. I usually think of it the other way, but I've never it's fascinating. Brody King is a really good way of cutting promos where he'll even take an idea like that inherently doesn't seem correct, but like the way he said it, I was like, yeah, actually, you know what, you're kind of right. The way he does it is not necessarily the same as the way everybody else does it. So that's another layer for both guys. Okada took on the Beast Mortos here. Now he was a bit bitch Mortos here. He didn't get a lot in, but I didn't really expect him to. But he looked way better against, like, the fucking greatest tournament wrestler of all time, like, than I guess you would expect a giant guy that just goes, Gwah! To do. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, so, in my mind, I was like, oh, imagine if he won this, though, and what that would do for his career. But anyway, you know? No shot, though. They did, like, a little bit of New Japan outside stuff. It was a solid match. There's nothing, like, super special here. Would you agree with that? I think that's pretty much my assessment of it.
Yeah, nothing overwhelmingly special, but just really solid stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it of the quality of a Continental Classic match at the very least. You know what I mean?
Yep.
All
it's
in Texas.
It's cool to see Beast get in there with the big dogs like that, though.
Yeah, I know. They weren't afraid to actually put him in a division where there was going to be some matches he was going to have to deliver on. And I think the important thing is, much like, I think that as opposed to Jay Lethal and Mark Briscoe last year, I think there were some matches where I didn't feel like Mark Briscoe even last year was like, oh, I was like, oh, is he going to be able to hang in this? You know what I mean? And I don't feel that way about Mark this year, but I feel like him and Jay Lethal last year, you were kind of just like question marks on so many matches. We don't have that problem with Mortos in any of these matches. He's been hanging with all of them. So we had an All In Texas video package. We had a recap of Tony Storm's return, which was pretty fun. And, you know, just some video stuff, you know, long little breaks from the action that we get sometimes. Tony Storm took on Shazza McKenzie, was back. Like you said, she was here a couple times this week. After the match, she said that she's so excited to talk about how she's All Elite. And to finally announce it.
Now that's good shit.
And then they cut backstage and they're like, Mariah, now that Tony Storm's back, what do you think? And she's like, I don't give a shit. And then she basically says that she's gonna murder Thunder Rosa. So that's interesting. I mean, fair enough. You might have to kill Thunder Rosa to keep her from getting that championship back, honestly, you know what I mean? Especially in a Tijuana fucking street fight. Jesus, you know what I mean? Fuck, you know? Which we didn't get that match announcement until the next segment right after this, which was Thunder Rosa being interviewed. I'm not sure if this was with Lexi or Renee. It doesn't really matter. The point is they were backstage and fucking
Toni Storm interrupted and introduced herself to Thunder Rosa for the first time. Which Thunder Rosa just looked thoroughly confused at this point. And then she just like fucking rolled with it and said, all right, fuck it.
Whatever.
All right, fuck it. We're having a Tijuana street fight. So, yeah. You know, Ryan made Tijuana street fight at World's End. So that should be fun. I expect Toni Storm is going to make this card. I'm just expecting that. You know what I mean?
I would think so too.
In some way. It feels not like a match. Safe bet. Not in this match, but in a match.
Zero Hour. Which we've
we could have her do a Zero Hour match against. Throw her on Zero Hour in like a fucking 2 out of 3 falls match against Harley Cameron or something like that. Fuck it. We ball. Give it the entire pre-show. Fuck it. We ball. Darby vs. Ospreay had a video package. Good stuff. You know, it was a little weird having a video that we played earlier on this show in the same video segment. Like, it was really weird having that same conversation be replayed later in a video segment that was clearly edited the same time that was put, you know what I'm saying? Because you know it was edited anyway.
It's a little strange. A little weird.
But anyway, whatever. Action Andretti and Leo Rush took on Top Flight, which is, I think, the best way you could describe that right now because we don't have the name for the other team yet. And but yeah, I mean, I actually did like the entrance. The music was kind of mid, but I mean, they could always get new music if they're going to actually make this a team. But I thought it worked for what it was trying to be. You know what I mean? And
I agree. Yeah.
And a little bit of methodical mat work to open this one up. I'm not against the split if they wanted to go that way, Charlie. I think this would be fine. Darius had still had a good pop on his tag, and Layla Gray got some collateral damage in there, which feels like that would be the catalyst for breaking everyone up. So I mean, yeah, I mean, where are you at with this? At this point, I'm kind of like so-so on this. I would rather them just go their separate ways at this point and then try and do something new with both teams. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I like where it's at. So I'm enjoying just kind of letting it roll. You know, if it ends up being where, you know,
maybe I should be clear. I do think they should have some kind of storyline with each other first, but they do need. Yeah. I do think that it would be a good place to start the breaking up of this. I think.
Yeah, if it ends up being best that we want two separate teams, and they've always kind of have that bond that they were once together, I'm fine with that too. But if it ends up being a scenario where they're like, damn, maybe we do bring the best out of each other and we want to group it back up as the four of us, go after the trios titles, you know, go, you know, freebird the fucking thing. Although I don't think they're going to, I still don't.
That has never been a thing in AEW to the point where they stripped the Bang Bang Gang of the championship because of that. So
dude, it's so easy with all these factions to do the freebird thing, yet they just don't do it. But yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't really have an opinion on that necessarily. I'm excited that these guys are all getting this good booking time.
Yeah, that's fair. I agree.
Those jackets though, man.
I do think if we're gonna have them, this is gonna sound bad, if they were gonna have them break them off, we should probably have Action Andretti and Leo Rush become a pretty dominant tag team over this other team pretty quickly, because I don't want to establish a new team just to have them get beat by a team that hasn't really been established in its own right. That just seems like you're building on quicksand at that point.
Action Andretti and Leo Rush versus Private Party at World's End sounds like a fucking blast.
Absolutely. 100%. So it's going to should be really awesome. We had a recap of Anna Jay and Mercedes match being made on Dynamite backstage, a little segment they had. That little backstage area at that Dynamite just looked a little bootleg. I'm not going to lie. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's something with that arena. It must have been.
Yeah, it was fine. It didn't matter. It just didn't look very much like it. Looked incongruent with other backstage segments at AEW. Probably just didn't have. I'm sure there are absolutely some arenas out there that don't have a similar setup to other backstages. You know what I mean? I mean, you've seen it at some of the places AEW runs. Sometimes they just look like they're in like an office building, you know, something like that. You know what I mean? Which they are. But whatever, you know. Anyway, Chris Statlander took on Trudy Lynn, who I think has been on Ring of Honor a few times, I want to say, or maybe back on Dark back in the day or something like that. The name just sounded familiar to me, so I think it might have been one of those people that would show up on Ring of Honor. I could be wrong, but
yeah.
Either way, quick, glad to see the feature of Chris Statlander on the show, obviously. You know, maybe they're going to build her back up into something. This is kind of the problem with the stacked women's division, is you have so many women who have recently been in good stories, you know? Like, I can think of like at least 4 or 5 right now that are not being featured in like a main storyline right now that have been really good recently, right? And that's another one. And so we just have to see what they're going to do with her, you know?
Yep. you know, three women's matches on the show is fucking is hopefully a great sign.
Compare that to 2 years ago when we were bitching every two episodes in this podcast about how there'd be like one women's segment on the entire week.
We had a really good opening match that opened the card, plus two good squash matches for Chris and Tony. Like, I'm down with it.
Oh, 100%. Dustin Rose previewed Final Battle, the double bull rope match with the Righteous, and basically said, if you don't take my dad's name out your mouth, I'm going to kill you, basically. So, so good stuff for Dustin Rhodes there. Yeah, I'm assuming that the reason why Sammy wasn't in this, was Sammy hurt or something? What is the deal with Sammy right now?
I don't know.
Obviously, he's going to make Final Battle or they wouldn't have the match, yeah. Right? But he must not be able to even... Yeah, I'm not sure. Or maybe he's just busy. He could just be busy. I mean, he has a kid, right? So, you know, he could just be a busy guy. You know what I mean? Obviously, you respect people wanting to spend time with their families. FTR had some more words about Asheville Fight for the Fallen. It was actually mostly Dax here, I think. I don't think Cash spoke here, but it's going to be the Brother of All simulcast combined with Fight for the Fallen for the biggest probably AEW show ever, I would say, in terms of viewership. I would guess probably you're right, Charlie. Hopefully. I mean, that's the idea, right?
Yeah, I mean, coincide with Max. It's going to be huge.
Should be huge.
I'm transitioning all my AEW viewership to Max here on out. So
yeah, I mean,
the minute that
especially
starts,
if it gets posted like really quickly after the next day, that's definitely where I'm going to watch it. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Orange Cassidy, the Outrunners commander, took on Daniel. And Daniel Garcia took on the MXM Collection and the Premier Athlete. So it was like 10-man tag. A lot to like in this one, but just a lot of really good wrestlers and teams. The good guys won. Who cares? Genuinely, I mean, honestly, who cares? Yeah, honestly, I'm just being honest. Who fucking cares? This is a random 10-man tag. I like everybody in it. Well, I like most of the Premier Athletes. I'm just kidding. No, I like everybody in it.
The crowd was eating up that ending.
They liked the no. Yeah. Okay, so I was thinking about this. And, like, you know how back in the day, every fucking 2 weeks, it felt like there was, like, a battle royal on WWE to, like, do something? I feel like just to have
some
guys
involved.
Yep. I feel like this is that day in the modern day has become like the 8 to 10 man tag match has become that.
Yeah.
Like, and
all star tags is AEW likes to double a lot of them too.
100%. And there's like a lot of great people in this. It's been a while since we've seen the Outrunners on TV. I feel like wrestling, like maybe it was like recently, but it's like actually involved in a match. So, you know, I mean, there was some interesting stuff there. It just wasn't like, I don't know. I just saw this match. Like, they were like, the following contest is a 10-man tag match. And I was like, what? Was this even announced? Like, what the fuck? Like, you know? But hey, whatever. Sometimes you got to fill some time on the card, I guess. Don Callis had something to say. Talked about the turncoats that he was pissed about and all that, you know? And yeah, so we talked about the main event match. And then you cut to backstage where John Moxley commandeered a camera and took FTR hostage. Like, it's Black Ops 6. FTR might not make it to Fight for the Fallen, because...
I did like this. Look, as down as I've been about certain things with the title reign and the Death Riders, this shit was awesome. So...
Yeah, no, it was cool. I liked it. And that's as far as I know, unless I missed something, that should be the end of the show.
Nope, yep, we cover the main event. Just real quick, so far for next week, what they've announced, John Moxley, Pac and Wheeler Yuta versus Hangman Page, Orange Cassidy and Jay White, Mercedes versus Anna Jay, Ospreay versus Darby, Shelton Benjamin versus Beast Mortos, Hook and Shibata versus Christian Cage and Nick Wayne, MJF will appear, and we'll hear from FTR from their hometown of Asheville, North Carolina, so I expect some cool stuff of that. And yeah, I hope for another big week of AEW. We got Final Battle we'll be covering, and this is going to be a good time, guys, so... the show will probably be out a little earlier next week, probably towards Monday, maybe Sunday. We'll see. We're just going to see how the schedules work
out. Yeah, we're going to see how it works out.
Thanks, everyone, for hanging around, and we'll catch you guys on the flip side.
Peace.